Right now on VFN TV, America's at crisis. We have aircraft carriers right outside the coast of North Korea because they're threatening nuclear attack on America. Christians are being persecuted. They have camps called gulag camps inside North Korea. We're going to look behind the camps and see what's going on. And we're going to hear what the Lord said prophetically about America and North Korea right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
What Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence, and God put a mercy visit. Instead, he put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no. There's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year. Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made himself, made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It got repaired as soon as I...
Within 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president, and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land?
I said, General Eisenhower, the Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homes. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos. John, this is interesting times. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled, and we're looking how they're talking. We're on the edge of potential nuclear war with North Korea.
I mean, who would have thought that we would be at this place that we are? I mean, this is very real.
Yeah, and I know that when the former president left office, he said his greatest concern was North Korea when he was leaving.
Yes.
And but nothing was happening. And now, of course, with President Trump, we have two aircraft carriers out there, which has all this support, ships that are with them, battleships and planes. And
I think a newly commissioned aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the USS Reagan. I think the Ronald Reagan is out there, along with the Coral Sea. I believe the Coral Sea as well. Well, the New York Times talks about where we just launched an ICBM. We just launched an ICBM missile from America, and we shot it down. It's like one officer said, it's like a bullet moving at 1,000 miles an hour, and you have to actually hit it right on the target. And we did it. We just did a test. Because the concern is that they're going to fire an ICBM nuclear weapon at California or Washington or
Seattle,
or Seattle, or for Hawaii, which is between California and North Korea. Hmm. And, of course, Japan, our friend, is just, they can already reach Japan very easily with that. But what is the New York Times saying right there?
Well, they say a re-engineered American interceptor rocket collided with a Mach intercontinental ballistic missile on Tuesday afternoon in disguise over the Pacific Ocean. The Pentagon said in the first successful test of whether it could shoot down a warhead from North Korea racing toward the continental United States at speeds approaching true battle conditions.
So it's like, can we shoot down something that's going to destroy us before it gets to us? Can we destroy that thing before it destroys us?
Yeah. It's amazing. And they're practicing. They're actually practicing this thing.
Wow. That's awesome. So it was successful.
Yes.
They shot it down. It was successful. I think you're probably seeing the ICBM. That's not the ICBM. But that's exactly what they did. And this is what he's threatening to do. I believe he shot one straight up. I think it went straight up into the atmosphere that he shot a rocket like that. But I don't think it had a nuclear warhead on the particular unit. Well, you know, people are maybe wondering, why are we over in the China Sea? Why are we concerned about North Korea? Well, understand, this is what the Lord told Isaiah Ramos in a prophetic dream and night vision, told him very specifically that if we don't deal with North Korea there, we'll have to deal with them here. And specifically, when you hear, we're going to have him share it with you, but when you hear what the Lord was sharing was, that it would happen after the former president left. And we saw him leave. The first thing that's happening is we're having to deal with North Korea. And we need to deal with it there. We're going to find out in this program that it is they compare it to the persecuted Christians, the king, the ruler, Nero.
Oh, Nero, yes.
Nero, they're saying that's exactly how They're comparing how Christians are being treated right now, which is just, it's, you're going to be shocked. You're going to see some video. This, I want to prepare you. This is definitely parental God has suggested, but this is what's going on right now. We don't show that right now, but this is what's happening right now. This is why God's wanting to deal with this, because we have human beings plus Christian brothers and sisters who are being killed, tortured, raped,
beaten, starved,
and all these things. And we'll talk more about that in the program. But first, let's go to Isaiah Ramos. I had him on the program. I had to ask him to share what the Lord dropped on his heart and gave him this night vision about America and North Korea and Kim Jong-un. Take a look. I'm so excited. We have Isaiah Ramos here with us on the program. Hey, Isaiah.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, this is amazing. We're seeing what God's doing right now. But before we talk about what's taking place in North Korea, before I tell you what's taking place, what our vice president just said in South Korea, I want you to share what the Lord told you specifically about North Korea and Kim Jong-un, who's the president or the leader or the tyrant that's over North Korea. Tell us what this night vision what the Lord gave you. What did he tell you?
So in the dream, I'm with a couple friends, two friends. It's me, my friend, and another friend. And we're walking in this neighborhood, and we're really young, and we're just walking by this garage. And we look in the garage, and I see a TV and some papers, and it looks like they're discussing. Mm-hmm. People are discussing something. So I kind of got scared, so we all went back. So then there's two people, Kim Jong-un, who I didn't know the name at the time, I just recognized his face, and his translator. The translator looked at me, and he asked me, "Do you swear on your God that you didn't see what you just saw?" And I said, "No, I can't."
There was something they were hiding in that garage.
Yeah. So basically,
this is Kim Jong-un's interpreter, translator, telling you this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're basically just looking at him, and then they're talking. The translator and Kim Jong-un is talking, and they said, "We're going to take you, and we're going to beat you, and we're going to abuse you."
Wow. And they do that to a lot of their people. I think three or five generations they take if somebody converts to Christianity. They take three or five, maybe three generations, and put them in camps and abuse them out there. They literally abuse them in these camps for making a decision to follow Christ.
Yeah, that's horrible. But so continuing on with the dream, I'm suddenly in D.C., Washington, D.C., and I had two friends with me, and now there's only one friend with me.
So you're talking about a dream, a prophetic dream that God's given you, and all of a sudden it just shifts, and now you're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I only have one friend with me now, so I'm thinking, like, they're probably taking us out one by one. Mm-hmm. So we're going into the White House, and basically everyone's just taking us, like, Secret Service. Everybody's just taking us around the White House and just hooking us up with equipment. And they're basically preparing for something. Something's about to happen.
Something's about to hit. Something's about to come against America.
Yeah. So we're in the front.
Sense of urgency?
Yeah, sense of urgency. You feel very, like, on edge.
Okay.
And so I look out the window, or I'm, like, look out the door, and I see a car coming up, and I immediately knew that it was Kim Jong-un.
So Kim Jong-un was at the White House, in front of the White House, in this prophetic dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we rush into this room, and then I look to see that there's former President Barack Obama was there, and I saw
him. He was president at the time. Mm-hmm. And so this has got to show you what's going to happen. Okay, so you're seeing former President Barack Obama. Okay.
Yes.
But this is why he was president, so what was going to happen? Okay.
Yeah, so then my other friend wasn't there anymore, so it was just me. Mm-hmm. So I looked at former President Barack Obama, and he looked at me with just fear all over his face. Mm-hmm. And he told me, help me, get out this place, help me. So I helped him out the window. And then he leaves me.
So he leaves the White House.
He leaves out of a window. Yep. And then he goes in a helicopter and leaves.
So all this—I mean, all this crisis is about to hit America. Former President Barack Obama gets in the helicopter and flies off.
Yep.
That's exactly what he did when he left the White House. He got in the helicopter and he flew off the day that President Trump took over the office. That's interesting, because now we're here, right in the middle of this, because nobody thought this is going to happen with North Korea, but right now, we have a military fleet that's going out as we speak and sitting off the coast of North Korea. They're threatening nuclear bombs to come on Japan, upon South Korea, upon America, and China's now getting involved. Mm-hmm. And this is why we're saying this, is because some people are saying that it's not that important. Kim Jong-un is not that important. God's going, he's so important. He was fixing to do something really bad to America. And our president is getting ahead of the ball, and he's dealing with it. So you're looking at right now, they have the USS Ronald Reagan out there, carrier with like when a carrier goes, it has a whole squadron that goes with it. And also the Carl Vinson, I believe, that's out there now. And so God said, this is what God said. I mean, that's exactly how President Barack Obama left. He left in a helicopter and left this whole North Korean situation with President Trump. I don't think he thought he was going to be leaving with President Trump. But listen, we get back from this break, we're going to go right straight to looking at what's taking place in North Korea to the people, the citizens of North Korea. They have a rating system. They have 27% of the population be marginalized and held back and repressed. People in prisons, like, it was way worse than anything Hitler ever done that's going on right now. Yes. It looks like God's wanting to free the North Korean folks and responding to the seed of evil is going to come down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. But first, join us after this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're looking back at what is really going on in North Korea, the persecution of the citizens and the persecution of Christians is taking place. And they have these camps called camps or gulags where they're actually taking the citizens. If you're a Christian, you're really going to go there, and they abuse you. And so they don't have any pictures from that because
it's a closed state.
But the prisoners that were there who got out did sketches of what was taking place right there, and it's horrific things taking place. And so we're going to do two things. You'll see running behind us those sketches, and I want to tell you that it's definitely parental guidance suggested. You might not want your kids to see it, But we have to understand, why are we sending our soldiers over there now? Why are we talking about ending this regime? Why are we talking about this? Because of what we're about to talk about is taking place there. And God is a just God. God doesn't want that to happen to the human race. The Christians that are being persecuted there is way worse than that. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to see these images. These are sketches that were sketched by previous people who were being persecuted, citizens of North Korea who were being persecuted inside the gulags or the camps that are there. And so we're going to read about it. But what the imagery you're going to see behind us as we're reading this, as John's reading this, is the sketches done by the former prisoners who were in there. It's just shocking. But so prepare yourself. John, what did the Washington Post, was it?
Actually, the Christian Post, very interesting article that really begins to uncover a lot of the things that are happening in North Korea.
And they compared them to Nero, right, in Rome?
Well, one of the authors here, you know, compares the persecutions happening to Christians. It's right on course with what happened with Nero. And if you remember Nero, he was actually putting Christians on torches, on
poles.
Well,
he burned out half the city and blamed it on the Christians.
Yeah.
He had a garden, and he put the Christians on a pole and set them on fire and lit his gardens.
So that he can see at night his garden.
Right.
This is what he did to Christians, dipped them in oil.
Right.
So they're making this comparison. But according to a prominent human rights activist, Greg Scarlatou, he said during a Capitol Hill briefing Wednesday, they convened by the religious freedom advocacy group International Christian Concern, activists and North Korean defector extensively detailed the grave human rights abuses Christians and all others who live under the rule of the communist Kim regime endure. And they urged lawmakers...
So he's a defector and he's writing about it.
Well, no, not him.
He interviewed a defector.
Correct. He interviewed a defector. They spoke to lawmakers. They're having a policy day on Capitol Hill.
This is horrific what's taking place to the Korean people. I mean,
yeah, so they're urging lawmakers to support a resolution to reauthorize a North Korean Human Act of 2004. And that act, you know, they want to reauthorize it because it's run out. Well, some senators were there. They spoke as well.
Senator Ted Cruz is one of those,
Ted Cruz, okay. James Lankford of Oklahoma, Chris Smith of New Jersey, and a few others.
Uh-huh.
But this is what came out. They said the human rights advocates with years of experience in dealing with North Korea outlined how the Kim regime has nearly wiped out Christianity in the closed-off, isolated nation.
They almost wiped out Christianity in this closed-off nation. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
And you'll notice what we're seeing here is that, you know, the Kim family, three Kims, he's the third-generation Kim.
Yes. That grandfather, father, and now son.
They're setting themselves up saying they're God, and their people are supposed to worship them. But the thing they're in competition with is God. And so they're trying to get all of God's children out of the nation so that they would worship him and not worship God.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing, the persecution of Christians.
Yeah, okay. Because early on there was a thriving Christian community. You'll find out more, but it's wiped away. As the tragedy of Korean separation continues, after almost seven decades, one remembers that the northern half of the Korean peninsula was once the cradle of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
So think about it. So this was actually the epicenter of the Korean Presbyterian Church.
There were so many Christians in North Korea that it was called, the nickname for the capital was called East Jerusalem East.
Wow.
There was that many Christians.
And so you see the enemy coming in now and through the Kim family and trying to destroy
Snuff
the people.
It out.
But his competition is not with man, it's with God.
It's with God.
Yeah.
So Greg Scarlatou, he leads this Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. He has led the publication of at least 24 reports and books on the Kim's regimes, the human rights abuses, and said during a panel discussion about these things with other human rights experts. Now, also in the article also states that prior to the communist takeover, the capital city used to be known as Jerusalem of the East.
Mm.
He continued that in North Korea, Christianity was once a way of life, with two churches on the same street corner being a common sight.
It sounds like America today.
Yeah.
With two churches on the same street corner, it's the way of life, that we're a Judeo-Christian nation. But they're sending us warnings now because we're in the early stages if we don't wake up. That's the ultimate goal of coming. The adversary.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Scarlett, you continue to explain.
This is the Post, right? Christian Post.
Correct. That it was started in 1946 when the Provisional People's Committee for North Korea forced the closure of churches with congregations that did not meet a predetermined required number of people.
So the government started setting rules. We would say that's a violation of our First Amendment because we have the Constitution.
Because we have the Constitution.
The government shall make no laws concerning the church. And this is why. Because all of a sudden they started minimalizing the church. And we had two churches on every street corner, basically, he said, right? And so when they started making laws, they started to control. Once they can put laws on something, they can control. If you have the power to tax, you have the power to destroy. If you have the power to make laws over something, you have the power to end something.
But they saw it as an extreme threat. They had to get rid of it. You'll see.
Because they wanted to be God. They wanted to be set up as God.
Yes.
I mean, this is what they're saying.
But this is common for all dictators. This happened with Pol Pot as well in Cambodia, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. But he said God is dead. This guy's saying he is God.
Yeah.
He's saying he is God. Okay.
Well, the committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day.
So the groundwork at this beginning, this hub of Christian activity in this nation began with putting laws on the church and then said that you cannot gather in houses. It has to be done in the public in this amount of place. So they're against churches meeting in houses.
Yes.
You couldn't do that. And then made Sunday
days.
A work day.
Right.
So they were trying to
get people busy, disrupt the flow of society.
How it ended up. You're looking at sketches right now behind us of the tragedy of previous inmates that have been in these persecuted camps in North Korea. God's wanting to end this. Obviously, he's like, this is it. And that's how Satan hates you. I mean, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. And when he sees you, you remind him of God. And he has been rejected by God because of what he did. He set himself up as God. Yeah. Remember in the very beginning, he says, I will exalt my throne above his throne. And he made that decision, and that's when he got cast down as he is now. And now you're looking at the same battle spiritually happening, but it's manifesting through people like Kim and others there.
I don't know who said it, but someone said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this is something that you're seeing in this regime over, three generations.
Well, listen, before we go to break, we're going to continue on talking about what's taking place there. And the reason why we wanted you to know this is because you can understand why our sailors and our soldiers and our Marines and our militaries investing there. If that was me in the camps, if that was me in this kind of persecution and I saw an aircraft carrier off the coast, I'd be so grateful. And if I had children that were there, I would think, well, I might not live through this battle. But at least my children, these people, can be free right now. As a matter of fact, can you pull that off the screen for a moment? Listen, we have something very important for you because there's a breakthrough taking place. And this is an offer that we want to just give you free of charge. There comes a time when oppression is over, but we must fight for your freedom. You must fight for that freedom. And that's what we have. Things have shifted in the world. Things have shifted in America. But you're going to have to stand up and physically get involved in the freedom that God. Freedom's not free.
No,
it costs you. But we have a window of opportunity to do it. As a matter of fact, we want to send this to you. Here's some details right here.
Offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom. There is a cost to living in rebellion to God and failing to acknowledge Him personally and as a nation. That cost is oppressive leadership or living an oppressed life. This kind of oppression is not to push us away from the Lord, but to bring us back to the Lord. The very reason it comes upon a nation is because they've turned away from God. Yet there comes a time when this oppression is over. In this message, you'll be able to gain wisdom from looking back and learning how Israel was under great oppression, as God had sold them to a ruthless, cruel governmental leader for 20 years. You'll also learn how important it is to turn back to God and listen for His voice, a word from the Lord, when He begins to give you wisdom and how to fight for your freedom, and how important it is to hear what He says. Believe Him and act on it to be free. You'll discover how many words of freedom from the Lord sit on the shelf waiting for someone to believe the oppression is over. Believe God and fight for the freedom that God wants you to believe. We learn all through this through the life of Deborah. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can go to VFNTV.com and become a partner by clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2. PNB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-4444. 3688. That's offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This one particular day, I'd fed the boys, and I put them upstairs for their quiet time, and I was broken.
Brooke McLaughlin was desperate.
And I sat down, body shaking, weeping before the Lord. And I said, God, I can't do this. This is not what I signed up for. I wanted to teach my children because I wanted to love them, and I wanted to be with them, and I wanted to be the one that opened their mind and their hearts to all these things. I wanted to teach them about you. I wanted to disciple them, and that is not what's happening. I quit. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I was weeping, and God was speaking to me, and he said this to me. He said, Brooke, don't give up. These boys need someone to fight for them, and I have chosen that person to be you.
Brooke McLaughlin shares more from her heart at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Our lives are constantly invaded with either ecstasy or heartache. Nobody is spared this. The only way to interpret these emotionally laden realities is to go back to the intellectual backdrop of how to handle them. We often think of the fall of Lucifer and so on. The biggest sin in the church today is anything to do with sexual sin. It was autonomy, pride, and power. That's at the root of all evil. So I think the whole issue of the struggle to interpret who I am will ultimately lie at the root of how to define pleasure and pain. And those realities, while symptomatic, are anchored in essence and definitions of ultimate meaning.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome back to your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are looking at the tragedy, what's going on behind the walls, behind the camps in North Korea. I mean, Germany was horrific. This is worse than Germany that's going on, it looks like. The persecution that's taking place. And we're going to have, and make sure you stay tuned to this program, because we're going to have in this program in a little bit actual witnesses, former prisoners and prison guards sharing what took place there, and you're gonna hear firsthand knowledge, and what you're about to see behind us while we're finishing this article with the Christian Post. I want to prepare you. It's parental guidance suggested, but there's no pictures being taken of the persecution in these camps. So former prisoners have written sketches, and so what you're seeing are sketches of people trying to communicate what is going on, and you'll hear them firsthand talk about it a little bit later in this program. But we're reading from the Christian Post about what's happening inside of North Korea. It used to be a hub of the Presbyterian Church. Who would ever thought it would have come to something like this?
Jerusalem East.
And now look what the enemy's doing to that particular region. God's wanting to free that up, I believe. What else did they say in the Christian Post?
So just to kind of connect the dots here, you know, we were talking about what this regime was trying to do was just remove every existence of the Christian church.
Yeah, because he wants to set himself as God.
Well, he is setting himself as God.
He's saying he
to
is,
those
obviously.
People, of course, right? You know. And the people are worshiping him. But the article...
If they don't, they go to camps.
Yeah, they're tortured,
this torture killed. Stuff, okay.
And so the article continues to say that the committee...
By the way, you're seeing some of these images, they're comparing it to Auschwitz and some others. So you're seeing, you're going straight from Auschwitz and some of these images, and then you go into North Korea. So you're seeing the two comparisons, and what the author was saying was, it's the same thing that was going on, the persecution taking place.
Yeah. The committee began to forbid Protestant and Catholic in-house assemblies and made Sunday a work day and Monday a rest day. And this was just the beginning, he added, under the pretext that the sound of religious songs disturbed public life. That same committee asked churches to relocate.
So it says you're a noise disturbance. Yeah. You're a worship of God. Think about it. How much the adversary hates worship. Mm. When you worship God, they're manifesting that reality that if I have control, I'm going to shut down your worship.
Yes. Yes.
It was bugging him that people were singing praises to God.
You know, this advocacy group that's sharing the awareness of the persecuted church, they for the first time listed the United States as a country now that is open to persecuting
Christians. The beginning stages, just like they
beginning stages.
Because that was like East Jerusalem. That's what they called it. Was such so of God, Judeo-Christian country. And now look what's taking place. So it was a great place before, in regards to the church, to where it's ended up now.
Okay. Yeah, the reason being is they were forcing the church out from the public square into the private, you know, just...
Well, they wouldn't even let you meet in the houses. And but remember this, too, that anytime somebody wants communism and socialism, this is where it ends up. Because the next thing you're talking about is the Communist Party, right? Agitators?
Agitators were inserted into Christian communities and church assemblies. They began criticizing the sermons as being unprogressive.
Paul warned about these. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, watch out. He says, those that come amongst you, they're not of you. Mm-hmm. And obviously they begin to infiltrate the churches. And people probably thought there's just an agitated member. We just need to calm them down. But what was really going on is what you're seeing these images behind us. That's what the enemy had in mind. He wanted to destroy the church. And so you got to really you need to get a tight relationship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You should know if a wolf's amongst you.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, wolves have come amongst you, they're not even to spare the body. And that's what they were doing there, right? They sent in agitators, okay.
It was 1962 that then-leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security agency that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people, according to Scarlett Chu.
People who are have religious beliefs were getting in the way of their plans.
Yeah, their agenda.
That reminds me exactly what Hillary Clinton was saying. She wanted to change fundamental religious beliefs. That's the same thing they're doing. As a matter of fact, do we have that play that? This is Hillary Clinton saying that fundamental religious beliefs need to be changed. That's exactly what they're saying in North Korea.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
Let's hear that one more time. Think about this. Let's hear that one more time.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
So let's go back and read that again. Let's go back and read that again right here. He said specifically...
It was in 1962 that then-leader Kim Il-sung told the regime security that we cannot move toward a common society with religious people.
So what she was saying is that... the same thing, you got to get rid of.
Got to get rid of them.
Christians. You got to get rid of religious people who have faith. You got to let government be God. This is, you know, North Korea has turned into where government has become God, the leader of that government.
There's many people in this nation that want to see the same thing happen.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of times they don't understand that that's the goal of the enemy. It might not be your goal.
Right.
But that's the goal of darkness. And eventually, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And obviously, look at this. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Mm. And so we have to turn back to God as a nation, right?
Yeah. It continues to say in this article, this is why we have to put on trial and punish those who hold positions of deacon or higher in the Protestant or Catholic churches.
So this literally started talking about positions in the church.
Yes.
Well, people get rid of titles in a hurry. I don't need a title. But that's what they started going specifically out the authority in the church.
Yes,
went straight
targeting them.
Yes.
Scarlett Chu continues to explain that in 1948, about one quarter of the North Korean population was of some religious belief. But
25%. Wow, okay.
Yeah. But statistical data today shows that number is now below 1%.
So it went from 25% of a population now lower than 1%. And that's not even documented now because it's getting so...
Yeah, so watered down.
And people are going in this environment, risking their lives to spread the gospel. It's amazing what's taking place, you know?
The article continues to say that like other communist leaders, as mentioned earlier, Kim Il-sung and the Kim's regime has rejected religion as the opium of the people.
God's gun and gold. You remember somebody talking about that? That they run to God, their guns and gold. And it's like, you have to, that sound, if you don't know that there is a God, that doesn't probably make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But if you understand God is real, He exists, He created everything, He holds everything together, and that you're made in the image and the likeness of God. And of course you run into your creator. Of course you go to Him in times of this kind of, all these
kinds of relationships.
Yeah, it's a personal relationship. It's not opium. Opium's opium. You know, God is it's a personal relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, but they realize
something's happening
to this population.
Something is happening.
Because they're okay. We're doing things to them, but they're okay. We're persecuting, but they're okay. We got to get rid of their faith.
Which has scared them to realize there's something to it. It's
right.
God.
Right.
You can't mess with God.
Right. And I'm sure they couldn't figure out. It's like, I punched him in one cheek, but he turned the other cheek.
That's right.
He asked him to go 1 mile, but he went 2 miles. This thing is like an opium. And it's like the love of God. I mean, they probably, no telling how many rewards this church in Korea is going to have in Korea because they've gone through the worst
untold
persecution.
Untold suffering, really.
Yeah.
Well, the article continues to state that North Korean society is split up into social classes in which every single North Korean resident is classified according to their political risk to the Kim regime. According to Liberty in North Korea, about 27% of North Korean population is assigned to the hostile class, the lowest class, which consists of political dissidents of the communist regime, religious citizens, capitalists, and other descendants.
So literally 27% has been marginalized and said these are
troublemakers.
Troublemakers because they have faith.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, you're going to hear firsthand reports from former prisoners and former guards in these camps. And remember, when you're seeing the news and you're hearing us talk about aircraft carriers are off the coast in the China Sea of North Korea, imagine you being inside these camps. That we got to have empathy for the human race that's being hurt and injured and murdered. And it's just horrific what's taking place over there. But listen, we're going to go to this break. We're going to come back and you're going to hear firsthand from guards and from former prisoners in these camps.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And you're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then
When he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFNTV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFNTV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are covering our brothers and sisters and our fellow citizens of the world in North Korea and the tragedy they're going through with the gulags and the camps. And you know, Jesus said, you know, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. And think about this. The church is being persecuted in North Korea. And with America going out there with our carriers and saying, we want to be able to stop this stuff. I mean, that's in the eyes of God. It's like, that's justice coming to the whole situation.
It is justice. It is justice. Our vice president just said that the era of strategic patience is over with North Korea.
What are the numbers? Do you hear some numbers?
Well, yes.
Christian
Post is saying in this article that despite the lack of access to North Korea, there are believed to be at least 120,000 people who are being tortured, beaten, and forced to do hard labor in North Korean prison camps right now. And in 2014, the United Nations reported that hundreds of thousands of prisoners have died in North Korean gulags. I mean, this is
It's a tragedy.
Horrific.
As a matter of fact, you're about to hear right now, this is... You know, parental guidance has suggested, but this is straight from former prisoners and guards who are in these camps and them telling you exactly what takes place. Brace yourself, but we need to know this, because when you're seeing the battle and we're seeing, you know, standing up for what's right and preventing this nuclear war from taking place, there's also persecuted citizens all over that whole country, and realize they're about to be potentially set free. Take a look.
It is a place that would make your hair stand on end. No words would help you to understand what this place is like. Kim Young-soon spent 9 years in the political prison camp Yodak. From sunrise to sunset, you work. There are no set working hours. You get up at 3:30 a.m. to report at work at 4:30 a.m., and then you work until dark. You need to walk 12 to 14 miles to get to the field where you plow. A former prison official. You'd be expected to walk the distance and then plow the field. You'd have to stay awake until midnight as well. There are meetings going until midnight. Four women had to plow with an ox cart, two in front and two at the back, carrying a ton of soil in the cart. We couldn't do this at a walking pace either. We had to run. Ji-young Park fled North Korea. She was detained after being arrested in China and then sent to a labor camp. Once you get to unsung, women will go through a blood test to check for pregnancy and any sexually transmitted diseases. They would force abortion after the pregnancy test. Pregnant women get sent to labor camps to carry loads up and down the hills, which cause miscarriages. The shortage of food is the biggest problem in the North Korean military. Civilians and the military suffer from food shortage. Starvation is the biggest problem. Julim Kim, he's a former military captain. I saw piles of bodies who have died from starvation in public places. If you eat food in less than 10 minutes, you excrete all. In the third degree of malnutrition, the anus opens up and eating does not help. You cannot save this person. After the anus is open for a week, the body swells up. Then ooze comes out from the sweat pores. It swells up huge. And the ooze comes out. That's become a reality in North Korea. People got so hungry, they would eat anything, from dog food and cattle feed left out at other people's houses, and beans left on the ground. I've heard of that some people ate beans and maize kernels stuck in an animal dung. Guilt by association. The guilt by association system applies to the family members. I may be the culprit, but the other six members of my family are forced to go with me to the prison camp without knowing the charge. I have escorted a father and son to Camp 16. Then the whole family was sent to the camp. Then the relatives would be sent to Camp 11. That is so-called exterminating the three generations of a family. My mother and father, who were over 70 years old, my 9-year-old daughter, and my three sons, who were 7, 4, and 1. When my parents starved to death, I didn't have coffins for them. I wrapped their bodies with straw, carried them on my back, and went to bury them myself. And the children, I lost all my family. Public executions. The first public execution I had to witness happened to be my classmate's brother-in-law. The first bullet hits the head strap, and the brain and blood spatters. People scream in horror at this sight. The crowd roars. It is so gruesome. You instinctively close your eyes or turn your head away on subsequent gunshots. When all the gunshots have died down, you look and the body is heaped onto the ground. You can't sleep after witnessing it. You're haunted by the nightmarish image in dreams. I've witnessed two killing methods. One is getting the prisoner to dig their own grave. Afterwards, the prisoner is made to stand before the grave. The prisoner stands there, facing his grave, and is unable to see what's behind him. The hammer is small, and it's a short metal hammer. The second method is like this. The prisoner comes into the office and is told to take a seat. Behind the screen, there are two people on standby, always. They're holding on to what looked to me like a rubber rope. It's a meter long, just about. If you strike someone with it, it will wrap around their neck. Then you kill them by pulling the rope. People in the UK and the international community should know the reality of North Korea.
Once you know what the reality is, the voice to improve the situation in North Korea can follow. The change needs to begin with a greater awareness of human rights in North Korea. Many people wish for reform and openness in North Korea.
This is such a tragedy in what's taking place potentially as we speak right now. And so when you think about two American aircraft carriers with all their squadron out around them saying, listen, this has to stop. The time of strategic patience is over, according to the vice president and what he said. And it just has to be dealt with. And so it's not this political stuff people are talking about. It's human beings being abused and killed and several generations. And Jesus said, you know, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Well, this is a whole people group that's being persecuted, just like it was in the time of Germany, what was being done to the Jews and to the not German enough folks. And that, you know, we are in that generation. Yes. What are we going to do with North Korea? So we need to pray for North Korea. We need to pray for our soldiers that are out there. We got to pray for justice. We got to pray for those prisoners that are being abused, and just that God would just rescue them and turn this thing around. I want to pray now, Father God, we just pray right now for the citizens of North Korea, God, that you would free them from this persecution, Lord, that you would rescue them from these camps, God, that you would rescue your church, Lord God. We pray for justice to be served, yes, in North Korea, Father God, that this nuclear capabilities would end. And we thank you for a president that's standing up for what's right.
Yes.
God, and a military that's standing up for what's according to just human value. God, and we just pray that you would give us a grace and that you would end this regime, Father God, and set the North Koreans free. That once again they would be known as East Jerusalem, Father God. And Lord, we pray for America too, Lord, just like North Korea, Lord, that you would end this murder, end abortion, end it. In this nation, that we ask, Father God, that you would send revival and that you would send a third great awakening in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Ooh. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door, and they said, and of course they're talking to each other, Mary and her son's talking, says, oh my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And just goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside, you know, and yo, sir, no, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. And he says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe
Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.